fight. Don't rely.
Ours is the Fury is proudly hosted by Red Nation Online. We can be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to episode 48 of Ours is the Fury. This is your host, John, here with Tim.
Hey, what's up?
And Ryan.
Hello.
Hey, we are the best in the league still.
We're the best fucking team in Canada. Ottawa Fury.
It's boring.
You rather like to lose, right?
I just don't know how to react, I guess, because it's never...
I still don't think it's real.
Yeah. It's amazing. We destroyed Indy 4-1 last weekend in Indianapolis. That's the third time this year that we played against Indy, and we've won all three of them. Mm. Sorry, Indy. It's tough to be an expansion team in your second year, we know.
Well, you know, you got to give them some time. They gotta build the team up. They don't have much of a budget to work with. And, you know.
They don't have Mark DeSantis, I think, is the main issue.
Oh, they got Tim Reagan. He's a good manager, right? Look how inspired they are under him.
Yeah. They have a great social media presence, though. You got to give it to them.
Yeah, just on the field, not very good. I feel bad for their fans. Best fans in the league. Except for us, yes. The ones that come out the most. Yeah. And they're just, they have to watch that team week in, week out.
And we saw the attendance dip against Ottawa for like the first time in forever. It wasn't sold out, right? So like, I think it's going to have an effect eventually. It's like with TFC, you know, how they started off so passionate and like so many people. And like, if your team just plays shitty week in and week out, you're just going to lose interest. So hopefully Indy can turn it around, because I kind of like them. What do you look at me like?
I love them. I love playing them, yeah.
Yeah, so let's get to the game. Defensive lineup, anyone? Maybe Ryan, maybe you know it.
Yeah, well, let's see. I think maybe Mason Trafford was on the left.
Oh, okay.
I think we might have had a Falvey in there.
Mm-hmm.
Might have had an Alves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm down to go with Ryan Richter on the right.
Yep, you got it.
Oh, I'm getting good at this.
But who was in goal?
Oh, who did we put in goal this time? Was it that Pizer?
You got it.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a risky move, but it paid off.
Yeah. I think Pizer has played, man, how many games in a row is it now? Is it like...
17.
17 in a row?
Well, this year.
But... I think he's played every game since he first played for the Fury. Yeah.
Since he signed.
Yeah.
Well, not since he signed, but since he started.
Well, playing. Yeah, since his first game. Huh.
And then we got Ubi Parapovid, Richie Ryan, and Mauro Eustaquio in the midfield, and Tommy Heinemann up front, and Andrew Wiedemann on the right wing, and Oliver Minutel on the left wing. And what happened in the first half here? We scored fairly early. It was an Ubi goal. Was that the one that was assisted by Tommy Heinemann?
Yes.
Yeah, he inexplicably beat a guy by speed and was able to cross it to Ubi, who no one decided to unmark.
Completely unmarked, top of the box. Just pounds it into the back of the net.
Yeah, nice finish, though, and good work by Tommy. But yeah, I think India is the only only team in the league that Tommy can just like run down the line and actually... like. Be two strides ahead of the defender at the end.
Jacksonville, too, I think. Well, if they do catch up, Tommy can just push them off.
Yep.
They're a pretty weak team.
And, we got a couple yellows in the first half. I was a little worried. Mason Trafford, Richie Ryan, and Rafael Alves got a yellow. And then later on, Ryan Richter in the 82nd minute actually got a yellow as well to make every defender have a yellow. And we scored the 2-0 with a goal from Andrew Wiedemann in the second half, which made me quite happy because this is his first goal ever in the NASL. Why are you looking at me like that, Ryan?
Wiedemann scored?
Yeah, he had scored for us once before in a 3-1 loss in the V Cup, but this was his first NASL goal, and then he actually made it a brace because he scored again.
He scored twice?
Yeah, 10 minutes later. He could have passed it to Tommy, but he decided to to score himself.
He knocked someone down off the ball.
He just, like, pushed him aside like he was nothing.
Yeah. Shoulder to shoulder is clean.
And
but he... Poor, poor defending from Indy.
And one of my... actually, my personal highlight of the game is Mauro Iustachio scoring his first professional goal for the Ottawa Fury. It was like he just sort of dribbled through, sheltered the ball well, and then passed it to Tommy. Tommy did the 1-2, and then he just finished it coolly into the, I think, right corner. I think it was. And yeah, that also meant that Tommy Heinemann had 2 assists in the game.
Yeah, very good game from Tommy. What was nice was Eustachio's goal celebration. Anyone catch that?
No, I must have missed
it. I think he like ran down the corner and wiped his sweat with the corner flag.
Yeah, I've never seen that one. I've seen lots of strange things with the corner flag, but never seen it used as a...
That's super minor vandalism.
Yeah. No respect. No respect.
We should also mention that Indy did score... they did make it 1-2 in the 57th, or no, sorry, in the 60th minute.
Yeah, Lacroix.
Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah, he was good.
That was a great run.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just, like, made our defense look horrible for that one moment in the match.
He maybe should have started that game. They brought him in for 3 minutes and he does that.
He had another chance, too. He almost scored twice. And Dane Richards had a chance.
Oh, yeah, that breakaway.
Yeah, that's a goal.
Where the Indy commentator, you can hear this in the highlights, the Indy commentator is like, that's a goal. And he misses.
Then he shoots it wide. But, you know, you got to give Pizer credit. He really came out and challenged well. He didn't hesitate. And if he would have hesitated, that probably would have been a goal. But he came out and challenged right away.
Obviously, you can argue that Pizer is one of the best goalkeepers in the league, if not the best. But there's one thing that I think... Pizer is the best, maybe even in North America, and that's closing down the angle. Like the way he comes out, and like he just makes it impossible for the strikers to pick out a corner because he's so big. He makes himself so big. He tightens the angle so much. I can think of countless scenes this season where Pizer basically prevented a goal just by coming out at the right moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like. He's not the most athletic guy. He's definitely not the biggest keeper, but he's just super, really smart. And he knows what he's doing, and he doesn't hesitate.
Yeah, he's definitely not a modern goalkeeper. Like he's not a good soccer player. Like that you can like that distributes the ball.
I think he should take our next penalty.
No.
Come on, we can. If we're winning, if we're already up by 2 goals.
Okay, maybe if it's like the 90th minute plus additional time.
Just getting a little cocky now that, you know. How many points clear are we?
Oh, I don't have that in front of me right now.
I think we're like 5 points clear in the fall season.
It seems to me, I'm not very good at math. It seems to me that if we fall back from first in the fall, we'll fall back further in the combined. It's almost like it's easier for us to win the fall than it is to finish fourth at this point. Although I'm not very good at math, there's still lots of soccer we played through the years, but we have quite the lead in the fall.
Yeah, so in the fall season, we have 7 games played and 19 points. And the second Atlanta Silverbacks, they already have played 8.
Oh, that must
and
be an
they
error.
Have 14 points. So they're actually 5 points behind, and we have a game in hand. Now, you do have to mention that the New York Cosmos, they have 9 points after 6 games played. So, theoretically, they could have 15 points. So, but that would still be 4 points behind us. So, we're doing really freaking well in this fall season. I mean, look at our stats here for a second. Games played, 7. Wins, 6. Draw, 1. Losses, 0. That also means we're still the only team undefeated in the fall season. The only team that's... the New York Cosmos have only lost once, but they also drew 3, so yeah, we're clearly the hottest team in the NASL right now, right? Atlanta Silverbacks, if anyone saw their tweet.
Yeah, the Atlanta Silverbacks tweeted the article that says, the hottest team in the NASL, the Atlanta Silverbacks.
It's like, what?
It wasn't that long ago when we beat them here.
Yeah.
It was only a few weeks ago.
That's okay. Let them have something. You know?
They're going to be around to this year, and that's probably it. So.
The San Diego Silverbacks.
So the combined table is much tighter. We also have the lead with 30 points, and then New York Cosmos is second with 29 points. But once again, we have one game in hand, so we'll have to win that game in hand to be 4 points ahead. But
that doesn't matter, because what actually does matter is that we're the last playoff spot. We're got 7 points up on the last. Usually we're like, oh, we're only 5 points out of a playoff spot. Now we're like, we're 7 points up on the last playoff
spot.
And
we have goal difference advantage.
Yes, and we're scoring goals.
Scoring a lot of goals. We're the highest scoring in the fall. 16 goals in 7 games. We had 5 in 10.
I read this Reddit comment where someone was like, because a couple of days ago, and he's like, holy shit, I just realized Ottawa Fury is the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's sort of under everybody's radar. Like, people sort of know, but they haven't realized it yet. And I think it took us a while, too, to understand what's going on.
Because they're so gradual. Like, oh, draw, win, draw, win, draw. And now all of a sudden it's like win, win, win. And...
Well, if we look back at our season preview, like, we really weren't optimistic about the Ottawa Fury this year. And then they really didn't look that great the first half of the spring season. And then finally they fixed their defensive woes. And then they had that streak where they weren't scored upon 5 games in a row. But they were 4-0-0s and 1-1-0, right?
Yeah.
So that also didn't make us very optimistic for the fall season, because we're like, we can't score! And now we can score. And we still have a great defense. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, what's changed is a little more pressure probably on our offense. And Eustachio is looking really good. And Richie Ryan, he's had that big game where he scored 2 set pieces there.
Tommy seems to be a different guy.
Yeah.
And we're scoring from all over. I mean... Buddy at work was saying that we're scoring a lot now, but no one's still in the top in assists or goals in the NASL. So it's all spread out.
Like, for sure.
Wiedemann's scoring now.
Midfield.
Oliver scored. Ubi's playing a lot better now.
Alves is scoring goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. So hopefully it goes on like that. So is there anything else you guys want to mention in terms of the match against Indy?
We should have went.
We should have went. Yeah, I think grammatically correct is we should have gone.
We should have gone.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. You know, I learned English, you know, the grammatically correct way, so I want to help native speakers to also understand their language.
Well, yeah, I'm from a farm, so.
we should say just for lineup changes that the new signing, Ugor Albayrak, was not in the lineup, and that Drew Becky had returned from injury, and he was on the bench, but he didn't see play.
Oh, yeah, we should also mention who was subbed on. So Paulo Jr. came on in the 63rd minute, Philip Davies in the 80th, and Brandon Poltroniero in the 86th minute.
Oh, Philip Davies, who tried to come on with a...
I'm pretty sure it was Ali.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
I'm pretty sure it was Ali Hassan, you guys.
You tend to confuse Philip Davies and Drew Becky. I didn't know you confused him with Ali Hassan.
That's one of the best moments. So I think what happened was he put the number up on the sign, and Filippo was like, that's not my number. And he's like, that's the number on your shirt. And he's like, oh, crap.
All right, on that note, let's take a break, and then we'll take some listener questions and give you some Ottawa Fury-related news.
Listening to the Hours as a Fury podcast. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
Welcome back, guys. So what did the Fury Academy teams do this week, Tim?
They did well, as in they didn't play.
Okay, so they were both on a bye week, but they'll play against next week, right?
They play away at Sunday at La Sanction.
Our French is just impeccable. Sorry for all French.
We'll be in Montreal.
Yeah, they're playing an assumption, so I think a game they could win. But we'll see. But what's important is the home game.
Yes. Next Saturday, August 22nd. It'll be a bye week for the Fury senior team, so
yeah, we should actually motivate more people to come out to that.
So August 22nd, Algonquin, Saturday.
I believe it's 3 p.m. Are they usually 3 p.m.?
Against AS Blainville.
Nice.
Not too many Ottawa Fury-related news this week. Unfortunately, Julian de Guzman has been ruled out for 3 weeks due to an injury that I think he got in the FC Edmonton game, right? Pretty sure. Mm.
I think it was aggravated. I think it's been bothering him for like a couple months. But...
yeah, he's been playing too much. Like, he went right to the Gold Cup and then came right back and didn't really have a break, so I'm not really surprised that he has an injury now.
I saw it all coming.
Well, but it's a good. I mean, after this weekend we have a bye week, somewhat. So.
It says here
not too bad.
Yeah, it says here that Rafael Alves was named NASL Player of the Week again. Is that right?
Last week.
What, did we not mention that last week?
No. Did we not?
Yeah, it's normal now.
Oh yeah.
But what's strange is you know, Wiedemann wasn't named Player of the Week this week.
Andrew Wiedemann.
Yeah.
Because there's too many other players that have braces.
Yeah, there's like 3 or 4 braces that happened this week in the league. Because all the games are like 3-3, 4-2.
Yeah, the NASL was like madly entertaining this weekend. We'll get to that. And that's pretty much it in terms of major news, except for the fact that the Ottawa Fury have released a new kit this week. This is kind of Blocksmith or Tim's expertise. I remember he once had an entire blog article on jersey fashion.
Yeah, they released it on Friday night, I think, at the Red Blacks game. It was their plaid marketing campaign, I guess. Unfortunately, they left it on the store's website on the Thursday night.
Yeah, so they tried to tease it.
But so everyone kind of knew about it. They eventually took it off, but it was hours later. There's different... Everyone seems to have an opinion on it, whether it's good or bad.
What's yours? Do you like it?
I like it. I understand people's complaint that it's too close to the Red Blacks one, but...
I think that's the
idea. I don't... Yeah. I mean, I think as itself, I definitely like it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, personally, I like the way it looks, and I also think that tying it in with the Red Blacks just makes sense. Like, we have the same ownership group. It's a reality that, you know, our success also depends to a certain extent on the success of the football team, like we've discussed in previous episodes, and this is like a little nod to the football team. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic. It's not overdone. The plaid's not... overpowering. It's just kind of on the collar and a little bit on the sleeve. It's super color.
Yeah, the colors work better than I bought the new one, and I also have the black kit with the stripe, and the colors are much better on the new one. Same kind of material.
Are there also really a lot smaller than you would think? Like, did you get the XL?
Yeah, I got the same size like that I got for the other one.
Because I'm normally XL in soccer jerseys, but I find the Fury jersey a little bit small. So I'm thinking of getting this one in XXL.
Yeah, maybe they're European sizes and not American sizes. So, but yeah, it's a nice kit. Like when you put it on, take a good look at it. It's actually quite a nice kit. There was a lot of reaction. I think we asked a question.
Yeah, this week we asked you guys to rank the 3 Fury kits and give us your thoughts on the new one. And we got quite a few replies to this, so thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate it. And for those of you who don't know, you can reach us on Twitter at OITFury, and we're also on Facebook and have an email address that is ours is thefurypodcast@gmail.com. So the first listener that tweeted in was Fury Fanatic, and he says he likes the home kit the most, then the new third kit, and then the away kit, but really he likes all of them. And I've spoken to Stuart Mack, and he's one of those people, he's like me, like he'll basically buy anything that the club comes out with. You know, because we're hardcore like that.
Yeah, are you buying the new kit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, I think I put my order in for the Alves jersey.
Yeah, and speaking of Max, Andrew MacVicker, it's an inside joke, he ranked the kits. He put the new third kit as number one. And this is the guy in the promo video, by the way, if you're ever wondering who this guy is. He's in the promo video for the kit. He ranks the new kit number one. Number two is the black racing stripe. And number three is the red and white. Although he doesn't like the third one at all.
Yeah, that one is very polarizing. Like, I like a lot of people really like it. Like, some of those have tweeted in.
And Phil says, off the board choice for one keeper kit, which is cool, but they don't seem to sell for some reason. Number two, black. Number three, the new kit. Would be higher if no red black's garbage, quote unquote. And number four, the red white.
All right. Theo Gauthier, who's at Mimglow on Twitter, also ranked them, and he called them PSG, Red Black, and Feyenoord. So figure that one out, guys.
That's kind of interesting, though, right? Like, none of the kits are super original.
Yeah, but it's so hard to make a kit original because there's like thousands of different teams. Like, how are you going to do that? And then Jordan tweeted in, who's at Langoliski. He says home, away, and then third.
Yeah, and Martin at OVTC6SIX. He's put number one, the home black. I guess the black one's the home. The away, red, white, and they put the new one, the third jersey, as third. Haven't seen the new jersey in person, but I like the plaid, and the rest is too plain.
No, he doesn't like
the plaid. Oh, he doesn't like the plaid, sorry. Mm-hmm. He says, we're not the Riders, Renegades, Red Blacks. Yeah. See, that's the thing that I was talking to someone about is I like the idea of the team having their own identity. Like, you wouldn't do, like, a red-black 67s jersey, would you?
No. But it's hard to get away from red-black-white in the city and not have it kind of be... I know it's similar to the red-blacks, but it's not the red-blacks major one. It's also the red-blacks alternate.
Alternate, jersey. Yeah. So maybe the 67s will do a third jersey with plaid in it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And Kendra at Crooked Beats.
Never heard of her.
Who is that?
Says, away is my favorite because of the color. I feel indifferent about the home kit. I hate the new one. Don't like the red box reference.
Yeah, a lot of people... Like I said, this away kit is polarizing. She likes it because of the collar. I actually kind of like that one too because it's sort of unique. With the white on one half and the red on the other.
I like this next comment, Andrew. BB... By Tomboy. BBSC_curtain. KIRITN. He says, any kit without a sponsor on it.
Yeah, it's a shame that we won't be able to get that third kit without a sponsor because my two other kits don't have the sponsor on it, and I quite like that about them.
But I guess that's kind of part and parcel of why they pay money to have it on the jersey.
Yeah, so you see it around town. It's true, but I have to agree with Andrew. Like, I love it when kits don't have a sponsor at all. I go out looking for them, basically.
But I think to be fair, that the Heart and Crown logo is actually kind of cool compared to some other ones.
I want the Heart Rock Cafe. Finally, we had Matt Hawkins, who is at mhawkin2 on Twitter. Third kit's all right. Cross-promotion feels weird. Don't feel attached to any kit design. Identity of club is still a question mark.
Yeah.
And we'll continue shaping the identity of the club, Matt. Don't worry.
Well, so what is your guys' rank?
Yeah, what's your top three?
I haven't looked at the new one in person yet, but from what I've seen online, I would have to say that's my number one. And my number two is the PSG one, our home kit, and the number three is the away one. But to be honest, I think we're pretty lucky with our kits. I quite like all of them.
I ranked the black with the red racing stripe as number one. Number two, I actually like the new kit. I'm indifferent to the new kit. I like it. Like, you put Ottawa Fury on, like, socks, I will buy them. And I just really, really dislike the colored shirt, the red and white, the Feyenoord style one. I can't stand it, but that's just me.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of the opposite. I kind of like the away. I think the half white, half red looks really cool. It's very different in this league anyway.
Different for North America, for sure. Yeah.
The new Red Blacks kit, even though I haven't seen it in person. And the black, because I think it's butt ugly. I have no idea what all you people think it's really good. It's too busy. It just looks bad. I don't know. Yeah, it's just me.
Maybe if I had more logos on the back. And
I don't like the shoulder. The red on the shoulder a bit too much. I think if it didn't have that, it would look a lot better.
Who do you think has the best kits in the league? And we might as well talk about kits because we're winning games. We don't have much to complain about.
We had a listener tweet in, Matt Bafia. He says, sticking with the theme of kits, what's your top three favorite kits from around the league?
Around the league.
Yeah. So, I like Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Which ones? The green and yellow? The hoops?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought of this when he asked. So number one is, for me, is the gray and black Minnesota United jersey.
Nice skin.
Which is awesome. Second would be the Indy, I think it's the Indy alternate jersey. It's the red
third
stripe.
One. Yeah.
Looks really cool. And the third would be the green New York Cosmo jersey.
Oh.
Which I think is really, just really classic and clean. And,
but it's the Cosmos.
I know. Yeah, I was.
But it's a kid.
My least favorite.
That's just prejudice on my. I really like the hoops that Atlanta has. The red and black hoops. I really like those kits. I think they look really sharp. And the new Nike Tampa kits are really nice.
Yeah, I will say the Atlanta away kits are kind of cool. They have like the city, the buildings of the city in the back.
I like the font too, of the way like Rowdies is spelled. Like they're just kind of they have some cool branding, the Rowdies, for
sure. Yeah, the 70s font.
The Indy kit's kind of ugly, huh?
Speaking of kits and designs and stuff, are we gonna talk about Miami? Their logo came out.
Yeah, that's right. They released their logo today. Wasn't it leaked like a little bit before their official announcement?
Yeah, well, everything is in this leak. Everything's leaked.
Everything in this world.
And there's a... Well, if
can't keep secrets anymore.
If you're listening to this podcast right away, there's an announcement apparently Wednesday afternoon, which would be today. So I'm sure you'll find out before it happens what it is. But expecting some big news.
Like NASL?
NASL.
We do have two more listener questions for us this week. One is from Tajik, who says, will the potential playoff berth for the Ottawa Fury be enough to draw in a larger crowd and general support from the city?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Will it be significant? Probably not. It won't, like...
I don't think it'll double?
I think we'll get good crowds. I think we'll get, like, 8,000 to 9,000.
Yeah.
But it won't sustain.
I think we'll get that. Good weather and a winning team, I think that's the numbers you're going to see.
Yeah, I think that our attendance is probably going to actually increase starting September when people don't go to their cottages as much anymore and are back in the city, because so many people go away in Ottawa in the summer. And, I mean, yeah, people talk about the Ottawa Fury for the first time really ever all over the city. Like, once again, at work, I hear people talking about it. There's... You know, a lot of people actually, there's this cross-promotion thing again. They go on the website to buy Red Black tickets, and there's like an advertising for Fury tickets, and they look at the price, and they're like, whoa, maybe I should check out a soccer game. But yeah, overall, definitely, if we play well, we're going to have more people for sure.
There's a buzz, like my barber today was like, oh, that soccer team's doing good, eh? And I was like, yeah.
Soccer team.
And I was like, yeah, May 2nd or May 3rd. Right? It's last time they lost a game. And he's like, whoa, that's better than the Blue Jays. So it happens. So there's a buzz around the city for sure. And I saw some comments online, like out of the States, saying, when's Ottawa gonna wake up and all that? And Ottawa knows.
Yeah, it's a slow process. I mean, we saw this in early MLS. It wasn't a rousing success in the first few years. And just kind of grew, and the same thing's going to happen in Ottawa. It's just going to grow and grow. It's not going to be overnight with 10,000 people, but if we can grow, you know, 500 or 1,000 people each year average, then I think that's good.
Yeah, and soccer's not foreign here. Soccer's like a part of the culture, where like when soccer maybe goes to Cincinnati, or soccer, like even when the Whitecaps first started, it was foreign. Like, it wasn't like a part of the... And here it's a part of the culture. And the problem we have here is we have a team with Drogba an hour and a half down the highway. And then we have every MLS and EPL team all over the TV on like 8 or 9 channels. So
even Toronto, Giovinco is not far down. It's 3.5-4 hour drive.
So it's...
There's lots of options.
There's lots of options. It's not like they have to teach people about soccer. It's like you got to convince people that second division is worth it.
They're watching live.
Yeah.
Your hometown.
Which is especially tough to do with Rangers fans who just think that Scottish second division is far superior to the NASL. Anyway, let's take a break and then we'll do some NASL news and results.
Ours is the Fury, your number one source for all things Ottawa Fury FC.
Welcome back, everyone. So let's talk some NASL. So the biggest talking point of the week has got to be that Bill Peterson article for the Telegraph, where he drops the bomb and talks about promotion and relegation. I don't want to talk about this too much because basically, at this point, it's a completely unrealistic proposition, and, you know, Bill Peterson has to worry about growing the league and other priorities, like getting a team out west. And as much as I would love promotion relegation, I just don't think it's something that we should talk about at the moment.
Yeah, not to, like, go about it, but I think it's something that a lot of people want, and I know... He's talking about it, but it's not something that's not going to happen overnight, but it's something that should be kind of in the back of everyone's minds moving forward. I think MLS kind of dropped the ball that they didn't kind of, you know, realize promotion regulation when they started. They could have done kind of something to, you know, to help promotion regulation in the future, whereas their system now is completely against it and it'd be so hard to implement.
Because you have to pay so much to get in.
Yeah.
I think if you're competing with MLS, what would be their weakness? It would be the fact that, you know, all the teams are the same, or there's like, you can't move up or down. I think it's an interesting strategy to compete in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think Bill Peterson basically has two motivations when he says things like that. One of them is to appeal to the football purists, because those are the people that will follow the NASL over the MLS. And also just to piss the MLS off, because I think he likes poking the bear. And so that's why I think this was mentioned. And, you know, it's also a slight publicity stunt, you know? Like, I don't think this article would have, got, like, how do you say, made as many waves without him mentioning promotion relegation. And there's actually quite a few other things in their article that are worth mentioning. For example, this is really the first time that we have official confirmation that Oklahoma City is done. Like, it's not going to happen. And we all know that Virginia was done. And what else did he mention? Things that we kind of already knew, but some people may not. You know, that the goal is to have 18, 20 teams within the next few years. That
next 2 years, he said.
Yeah, well, that's realistic here. How many more teams can we put in Florida? Also interesting from a Canadian perspective that, you know, he's still open to putting more teams into Canada.
Well, it's interesting. You got to look at the audience. The audience here was the British public, right? Because it was for a British newspaper. So... a lot of things, English people, first thing I have to explain to them is how there's no promotion relegation in North American sports. I remember people I used to work for a British company, and they'd come over and they'd be like, you mean if your hockey team loses every game, you still get to play in the same league next year? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, that's madness. They just couldn't get the concept of like a franchise sports. So I think he was talking a bit to that audience. He said this stuff before, and people started coming up with schemes online, how it's going to work with the NPSL and regional leagues and all this, and how it'd work with the new Canadian league. Sorry, I said it out loud. And yeah, it's we'll see in a few years, but it'd be interesting if they tried it. especially you only have to pay a few million dollars to get in the NASL. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the MLS where you lose your $100 million investment yeah. 3 years later.
It's like perfect. It's like something brand new to North America that's been tested yeah. for centuries overseas. It's a known to work.
Yeah, and there's different John hates this talk, by the way. But there's different promotion relegation systems. So, like, in Brazil, they have state leagues, and they do it that way, right? And then we're mostly familiar with the English system, where, you know, top two of the table, top three go up, and top...
In Argentina, even though they reformed their league this year, but it used to be that over, like, a certain period of time, I think it was 3 seasons or something.
Yeah, same in Mexico.
You would look at who has performed the weakest over that period of time and then reshuffle everything.
Which I think is more fair.
Yeah.
So, like...
if you have 1 year, that's a fluke. And
yeah, so... It's sad that the Indy 11 will be the first team relegated.
If there is relegation, it'll be Indy 11.
Because the fans are so good. But that's how it works, you know? It's the same happened to Newcastle before. And Indy 11 get to be the Newcastle of North America.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to build. I think you just have to have that strong second and third leagues. You can't just say, oh, a team's going to be relegated, so it's going to lose all its money and no one's going to show up. But if you're relegated down to a strong competitive league, then that's not really a factor.
Yeah, I think it's still 50 years away, to be honest. But it's you know,
50 years.
If you are really interested in promotion relegation and just cannot get enough of it, there is somebody on Twitter that you need to follow. What's his name? Ted Westerwelt at Soccer Reform. He's a very unique personality. So like a lot of people that were for promotion relegation are now against it just because of him. But check him out if you're interested in the subject. Moving on. Jacksonville Armada FC announced the signing of U20 defensive midfielder Ethan Sones on loan from SC Freiburg, which is a team I'm quite familiar with. It's a Bundesliga team that got relegated to the second Bundesliga last season. But I looked up the player and he never played for the first team. He played in the Regionalliga, which is basically the fourth division. And only a handful of minutes for the reserve team. But still not a bad signing. And then New York Cosmos signed another youth player, U17 defender Alexis Valdela.
Yeah, that's huge. And they're really concentrating on development, which is nice. Like, I know they have the Raul's and all the older players.
Senna.
Oh, Martins. I heard of him. But... they're really doing a lot, and we mentioned it last week. And out of all the clubs in the NASL, I'm actually most impressed with the Cosmos with their youth
system. Yeah, absolutely. And they also won the NPSL. Is that what it's called? The New York Cosmos B side won it.
Yeah, they beat Chattanooga.
Yes.
In front of how many? It was like 18,000 people.
Yeah, so everyone's like, give them an NASL franchise.
Yeah, that's kind of how things are right now, right? Like. A crowd appears in Sacramento for third division soccer, like 20,000 people, and like, give them an MLS team. Now people are talking about MLS in Chattanooga. It's ridiculous. Like, there's so many markets in so many places. But if I told you 5 years ago a fourth division game would have 18,000 people at it, though, you wouldn't believe me.
No, absolutely not.
I don't believe it, but it happened.
So one thing that just popped in my head out of nowhere was, I read this on Twitter. Someone suggested, why not have the U.S. Open Cup winner play against the winner of the Voyageurs Cup? Sort of as like a CONCACAF Super Cup, kind of.
Yeah, I saw that. That's
a great idea. Yeah.
That's really kind of a funny idea. Like,
so
like
the it. Philadelphia Union would be playing the...
Probably Montreal.
Montreal, yeah.
That's actually, for all you soccer fans who don't know, Wednesday, which is probably the day that you're listening to this podcast, in the evening, is the first leg of the Voyageurs Cup final between Montreal Impact and Vancouver Whitecaps in the Canadian Cup, the Voyageurs Cup, or Amway Cup.
And the final is the same time we play the Cosmos. So some of you have to make some choices.
Yeah, it's not odd that you forgot this, because they last played the Voyageurs Cup back in June.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique schedule. I kind of cut you guys short about the Miami FC club logo unveiling in the last portion of the podcast, so let's talk about it a little bit more. If you I don't know if this works yet. If you're listening to this podcast on your phone, can they see the logo at this point? Or?
Probably not, but and there's been many teams named Miami FC, so we're just going to describe it a little bit. It's a crest the same shape as our crest. Except it's blue and orange. It says Miami has a soccer ball.
That's also like the world or the globe.
Right. And someone said Canada wasn't in it, but Canada's in it, but just not all of Canada.
There's no Edmonton, for example, so we don't care.
That's okay.
And the top of Quebec is kind of weirdly rounded off.
I've been up to the top of Quebec, and it is kind of weirdly rounded up there.
Also, Florida is really small, which is kind of ironic because it's Miami.
And the Caribbean is huge. Like, Cuba is...
Because it's all for Cuban fans.
It's all for Cuban fans. Yeah, so Cuba's huge.
But you know what? This logo is really pretty. I really like it.
I say it's the second best in the league.
What's the best?
I do like the colors.
Minnesota is the best logo. And Minnesota United, I don't like you. You're a terrible team. Oh, yeah, and we're playing them soon, like this weekend. But you have the best logo in soccer in North America.
It was pointed out on Reddit that there is a hurricane around the soccer ball globe.
Ooh.
And they maybe should stay away from devastating, like, disasters.
Right.
That happen yearly.
Anyway, check out the logo. It's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait for some kits.
Yeah.
See how that works out.
Maybe a third kit that looks like the Dolphins.
All right, so let's... So, okay, let's quickly run through the... scores of the NASL from last week. So there were quite a few Wednesday games. I think there were three Wednesday games actually last week, which is odd. Atlanta against Fort Lauderdale, which Atlanta won 2-1.
Hottest team in the league.
In front of a little bit more than 3,000 people. Two goals by Pedro Mendes, who was also the NASL player of the week this week, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
So he pretty much secured the victory for the Silverbacks, and then Ramirez also scored for the Strikers to equalize it for a while there. Next game?
Well, Ramirez also scored in this game.
That's a different Ramirez.
He's everywhere! Anyway, the Cosmos beat Minnesota United 2-1, so it's good. Break down their self-esteem before they come into Ottawa. Actually, Minnesota's been doing terrible, but we'll talk about that later. Only 3,600 in attendance in New York. I know that I didn't even look where this game was, but I know it's in New York because the last time they had 3,600 at a soccer game in Minnesota, probably the team was called the Stars. So.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the attendance, it's a Wednesday night. The attendance seems to be down all around the league, except for the FC Emerson game, oddly enough, when they beat Indy.
But they're so starved for a home game. They haven't had a game in Edmonton forever because of all those Fort McMurray games.
And a big road trip, too.
Yeah, so 3,120 saw Edmonton. Watson and Amiobi scoring for the Eddies. And actually, Keith Cardona was starting in that's for Indy.
No Nietzsche.
So Nietzsche is a...
To be fair...
Maybe they're trying something different.
But Nietzsche, he didn't really have any... howlers or anything against Ottawa, eh? Like he was decent.
Yeah. So Saturday, Atlanta, San Antonio.
3-3. What a game.
Goal mania, yeah. So, and that was against the hottest team in the league. So that's pretty good for San Antonio to pull that off.
Considering they were down 3-1 at one point during the game.
Yeah,
and then Fort Lauderdale against New York Cosmos was also 3-3.
Cosmos down 3-0 in that the 62nd minute.
There's a lot of goals this week. Like
that's an important point for them, too.
An average 4.7.
But it's also a good result for the Fury to have both Fort Lauderdale and the Cosmos lose points.
Yeah, love draws. Love that Atlanta only got a point. What else? Tampa Bay, Jacksonville. That was another crazy game. 3-2.
Okay, you guys have to check out that howler keeper error from Jacksonville. Tim is nodding his head.
I watched the highlights.
What happened?
He ventures a bit out of his net.
Just a bit.
Say it. to say it politely.
Like the 50 yards.
Like there was no need for him to run out. He runs
and
out
the side
like basically until the center line, and then like the player just runs by him. He's totally out of position. The player like keeps his cool. He passes it to another forward who has an open net and just slots it home. Man, I would be so frustrated if I was a Jacksonville fan because they're having a hard time lately, and you know that cost them the game basically.
That's brutal. In the last game, Minnesota United, this one's obviously at home, 9,000 fans, played FC Edmonton, 1-1 draw. So, wow.
Ramirez scored from a penalty, and Lance Lang also scored, which is kind of nice to see that he's back for FC Edmonton.
No, he assisted, he didn't score. It was Amiobi scored, but
oh, okay.
A really nice Lance Lang pass.
Gotcha. We already discussed the tables in detail, so we don't need to.
Yeah, we're on the top.
Yeah, if you have forgotten, we're on the top of both tables. And we hope that it'll stay that way, and in order to stay on top, at least in the combined table, we'll have to beat Minnesota United this Saturday at 7 p.m., so come on out. We have tickets, $10 tickets. Just, you know, get in touch with Stony Monday Riot or Bytown Boys.
And yeah, we should really say that it's at 7. It was one of these games that was changed. It was originally supposed to be 3, so your ticket might say 3, but it's actually 7.
If you show up at the stadium and it's 3 o'clock, there's lots of pubs. Mm-hmm. You get nice and warmed up for the game.
I'm not entirely sure how well the Fury's been advertising this fact.
not really.
But I love night games, and the Cosmos game after that, the week after, will be a night game as well. And I think they're doing the right thing here.
Yeah, this is perfect. So let's look at Minnesota in more detail. Ramirez is unfortunately firing again. He's already scored 6 goals against the Fury in our history, which is kind of
just kills us.
Which is, I was hoping he'd be weaker and like he'd lose strength because Ibarra's not there, but
they might leave him at the airport, like a Home Alone type of scenario. But probably not.
But in better news, they are winless in their last 3 games. So they drew FC Edmonton at home. They lost to the Cosmos.
They tied Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
I guess we tied Jacksonville when we went down there too, right?
Yeah, it was windy or something.
Yeah.
The last match against Minnesota was a 1-1 draw in Minnesota, but we already beat them this year at home 1-0.
Yeah, that's our only blemish this fall, that 1-1 draw against Minnesota.
Which is a great result, really. I take a draw in Minnesota any day of the week. We could break a record, or not break it, but we could tie it for most games in a row undefeated. We're 12 now, so if we draw or win, we'll be at 13. So we'll tie the Cosmos and the Railhawks.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx anything, but the year the Railhawks had that streak, they did not make the playoffs.
So if you've been doing, like any kind of ritual since the start of May, before Fury game, just keep doing it. You're like the wheelbarrow thing. What people in Section W know what I'm talking about. Any kind of superstition, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it.
You've been wearing the same socks since May. Just keep at it.
You can smell that, right? Yeah. So, whatever. Like, we need to get this record. We're 2 games away. We already got the most time without a goal against.
Yeah.
600 and some minutes. 650
minutes.
Yeah. I mean, Minnesota's game is going to be huge, but this is really a huge homestand. We play Minnesota. The next Saturday we have the bye, but the Wednesday we play New York at home and we play Tampa, so that's the second, third, and fourth teams in the league.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the 3 home games in a row that'll basically make or break our season.
Yeah.
We've been saying that so much.
Yeah, I know. But if we come away with, like, let's say 6 points or more from those next 3 games, we're basically in the playoffs.
No, there's still so many games left.
Yeah, but we have such a lead already.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Because you gotta, like, we still play against Jacksonville again. We'll play again against, who else are we playing
like
against?
Like, we're a good team. We're a better team than last year. But do you remember last year's fall season and how it started?
Yeah, it was horrible.
It was horrible. And how that wrecked it, like, if we just put us out of it. Just reverse that. Like,
it's not gonna happen, man.
That's what's happening.
We're too good.
Yeah, okay.
On that note, I think it's time to say goodbye. So, I know there is a certain way that Blocksmith likes to say goodbye. How does that go?
Toodles.
See you next week, guys.
See you, guys. Oh, actually, we can be found on Twitter.
At OITFFury.
And we have an email address.
Ours is thefurypodcast@gmail.com.
And we have a Facebook account.
Just look up Ours is the Fury.
You're on Facebook anyway.
And also, please, if you listen to us on iTunes, give us a review, because we really appreciate it, and we'll make sure to read it on the show. Have a good week, everyone.
Toodles again.
Bye-bye. Make your move while there's still time. Last time the Ottawa Fury lost, it was cold outside.
Gas was under a buck.
The Canadian dollar was parity with the US dollar.
The last time they lost, it was before the Women's World Cup.
It was before the Champions League final took place.
There is still snow on the ground.
Ronald Reagan was president.
The Berlin Wall is still standing.
Robin Williams is still alive.
We didn't go to the moon yet.
The pyramids had yet to be completed.
Movies were 25 cents and everyone called each other Sonny.
Indy 11 didn't suck.
Wait, when was that?